relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Portions of the following program may contain pre-recorded material.
This is America First, and here's your host, Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
There are certain guests that you have to prepare for, especially when you're doing a one-on-one. Greetings, my friends. This is America First. This is our long-form third hour of the show, and we'd like to be gracious hosts. We have a lovely green room. We feed and water our guests, but sometimes you make special arrangements. We have been waiting for months. It's been in our fridge. We've got loads of Red Bull. But the man who needs to drink them didn't even come in studio, but it doesn't matter. We are delighted. He is my former boss, my colleague from Breitbart, from the White House, and he is the host of War Room Pandemic. Steve Bannon on deck. Welcome to One-on-One.
Thanks, Seb. I would be everywhere, but of course the mayor of D.C. is thrown down that you can't go. If you're unvaxxed, you can't move around the city, so... We'll do it some future time, one-on-one in some future time.
I just realized that I'm never going to a museum again in the nation's capital. As of January 15th, you've got to have a vaccination passport. I'm not getting vaccinated. So there goes my historical input and education in the nation's capital.
It would say no restaurants, no health clubs, no office buildings. This is, you know, people that warned us about vaccine passports, and we all laughed at them. You saw what happened in Europe and you've seen what's happening in Austria and Germany. And I tell you, this is as draconian as it could get.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, so we could spend hours talking because you and I, our real passion is grand strategy. You know, I remember that moment when I brought Ed Luttwak, one of the few living strategic minds, into the White House. Finally managed to get him in and I said, hey, Steve, would you like to meet Ed? And I bring Ed into your office and like 3 hours later, you're still talking about the Byzantine Empire. So we can have a lot of fun. We've got to stay on message though. We've got to discuss January 6th. We've got to discuss the future of the Shire. And the Hobbits, as you've named America's heart and soul. But first, for those who, I don't know, have been under a rock for 20 years, who don't know who you are or how you got to be where you are today, I'd like to take this opportunity because we've got millions of listeners across the country. Then we've got the video feed and everything else. And I think most people, you like to play at the Darth Vader of conservative politics, but I think people need to know the real backstory. So your roots in Virginia, your 7 years in the Navy, your stellar record in the private sector, and then how you ended up in the White House as chief strategist to the president. So imagine a Venusian has just tuned in to America First One-on-One. Tell them a little bit about whence Steve Bannon came from.
Simple, you know, blue collar Irish family, Irish Catholic family from Virginia, you know, Kennedy Democrats, you know, the family really started to leave the Democratic Party during the Vietnam War. And really with President Reagan became full time, although still registered Democrats, full time, you know, conservatives. I was blessed enough to go into the Navy after I went to a Catholic military school as a prep school and then went the Navy Pacific Fleet surface warfare officer on a Esperance class destroyer, a couple of deployments. Western Pacific, China, and then did the South China Sea, and then did a extended deployment second time during the Iranian hostage crisis to the North Arabian Sea, Camel Station, Gonzo Station with the battle groups up there, and then the Persian Gulf. Back to the Pentagon, special assistant to the chief of naval operations, got a master's at Georgetown. Luttwak was one of my professors. I'm sure that he definitely didn't remember me when he brought me into the White House that day, because I think it was, I was not an A student under Luttwak. I don't think he gave A's, right? He did. He thought Americans were not.
I doubt it. I doubt he gave any Americans A's.
No, he just thought you guys are just not ready for A's. So then Harvard, Goldman Sachs, my own firm, met Andrew Breitbart, helped finance Andrew Breitbart's company. And then when Andrew died, took over as the chief executive officer, executive chairman, I think it was. And then Trump campaign, as you know, Seb brought you in for Breitbart Radio. You were one of the great columnists and analysts. You were on Breitbart Radio all the time. We kind of built a core group from Breitbart London and Breitbart Jerusalem, Breitbart Rome, and of course here. And then, you know, to the White House, and the kind of rest is pretty well known. The CEO, the campaign strategist, and then back out, got the war room. And so really, as you know, Seb, kind of focused on this populist nationalist traditionalist movement over the last decade or so, kind of pre-Tea Party all the way through. And look, we just had the greatest year. The MAGA just had its greatest year in history, was 2021. It's what 2022 is what I call the Valley of Decision. And it's going to be an epic inflection point in not American, but world history. And so that's why I can't think of anything better than starting off the new year by talking to you and your audience.
Well, we're delighted to have you aboard, and happy new year to you and the whole War Room Pandemic crew. And I have to say, just for those who aren't familiar, my personal history. So you pulled me in to be a kind of QC guy for the national security coverage at Breitbart. And then I'm sitting in Quantico teaching the Marine Corps as the chair of military theory. And I get a phone call from somebody called Corey Lewandowski in the summer of 15 saying, Mr. Trump needs somebody to help him prep for the national security debate. Would you come to Trump Tower? And I was like, okay. Had no idea who Corey was. And thanks to you, I get roped in as an advisor to the campaign and then the White House.
Hold it. Two individuals where I made sure it got sent up to brief then candidate Trump, because there's only two people I really trusted that I thought had both the geostrategic knowledge and actually kind of, because you're both, Seb, you really know the operation side, was General Mike Flynn and Seb Gorka. And, yeah. And I would say you guys did a pretty good job.
Well, thank
it was pretty well prepped.
Thank you. And then I started working with Mike, was pulled into the transition team, and we were doping out how to build the NSC. And I was expecting to continue my CT work, my counterterrorism work for Mike in the National Security Council. And then 8 days before the inauguration, somebody called Bannon says, no, you're not going to the National Security Council. You're coming to work in this superb idea, which has to be reinstated for all conservative administrations. And this is this long-range think tank that sits next to the president or the strategic initiatives groups. So you're not killed by the tactical and the operational, but you can actually do long-term thinking. Like,
I also want to say this, and this is one of the reasons I pulled you out of NSC, and we're going to do that in 24. In fact, we're going to do a mini one of that in 22, Seb, when we went. But the reason I picked Seb Gorka out, and part of this, Seb, is your European heritage, and really Lutwak. When I talk about it, the Europeans and the European schools have a deeper understanding of history and strategy, and particularly geopolitics and geostrategic thinking, since almost all of that's come from Europe, you know, really, was to pull you out. And the big deal was, at that time, you were so focused on the jihad movement, and of course the Middle East and the Gulf. One of the things we wanted to do immediately was to get rid of the CENTCOM mentality.
Yeah.
That we understood that the greatest threat was the criminal junta in Beijing, which is the Chinese Communist Party. And I remember you and I sitting in the West Wing. I said, Seb, here's brother, I'm pulling you out because you're really going to head the kind of internal think tank that's going to really get us out of CENTCOM. NSC's got their own thing they got to do every day, but we're going to pull out. We're going to really focus on the war that the Chinese Communist Party's got against the United States right now. That both the cyber war, the information war, and the economic war. And Seb, that's, I think, your greatest accomplishment of all the great things you did in the White House, was really head up that transition and that key pivot.
Well, look, I owe you a debt of gratitude. You're one of the few strategic thinkers in American politics. I mean, there's you and Newt Gingrich. And then outside of the political world, we have greats like Victor Davis Hanson, but it's a handful. I mean, because I came in fully expectant, full disclosure, to do counterterrorism, counter-jihadi. And once you get the clearances, once you sit down with Steve for half an hour, you realize, we're going to deal with them. We're going to deal with Iran. We're going to deal with Russia. North Korea, just a bunch of pikers. The only strategic threat we face is with China. And you have been banging that drum in the White House, outside of the White House. I have so many things to ask you, but just let's start with that very quickly. Do you think, finally, the tide is turning in terms of American population's understanding of the threat that China poses to all decent people?
The Chinese Communist Party, the population's way ahead of the political class here in the financial class and the cultural class. The reason is they're at the receiving end of all the negative aspects of this partnership that the party of Davos, our elites, the financial elites, the Guo corporations, the MBA, all of it, Hollywood has with the Chinese Communist Party. Remember, the whole world system works on the slave labor allowed by Jing, the slave labor of the Chinese people. We're in the financial systems in partnership with them to the detriment of working class people in the United States. And so this one, I remember in 16, that's how we pierced the blue wall. Remember, up at the blue wall, it wasn't so much the border and immigration. It was important, but it's the manufacturing jobs went to China. And she represents the status quo that did that. The people that believe in the Thucydides trap, the people that believe that we're the declining power and they're the rising power. That Hillary Clinton was the epitome of that. I mean, that's what really I talked to then candidate Trump immediately coming onto the campaign, that we're going to hammer in Wisconsin and Michigan and Pennsylvania, Ohio and Iowa. We're going to hammer really the manufacturing jobs all being shipped over by Wall Street. And if you go back and look at those speeches, and Stephen Miller did such a great job, that was the power of it. The American people are 100% awakened to this. They have a question. It's the globalist corporations. Remember, Seb, in basically a month from today, you're going to essentially see the opening ceremonies of the 1936 Berlin Games. Yeah. History, you know, first it repeats itself as, you know, what is it, farce? This is a farce. We are allowing NBC, which is the parent company MSNBC, which every night talks about the xenophobia, the nativism, the racism, the misogyny of the Trump movement, the deplorables, and President Donald J. Trump. They are underwriting to the of $2 billion the 1936 Berlin Games.
There's only one flaw with that analogy. In 36, they didn't have the death camps. Now China has the labor camps. It's even worse. Don't go anywhere, guys. We'll be back with Steve after this break. Coming to you live from the ReliefFactor.com studios. Relief Factor. It's real. It works. How do I know that? Because I had a lower back pain issue that plagued me for 9 years, almost a decade. I took Relief Factor 2 weeks later. Yes, 2 weeks later, I was pain-free. And I'm still pain-free almost 3 years later. That's how incredible that product is. A product which is relieving, liberating tens of thousands of Americans from their daily pain. People like Reggie from Florida. This is Reggie's story. I have a lot of pain from aging, and after only 4 days of using Relief Factor, I'm already experiencing less pain and stiffness. Can't wait to see how I feel in a couple more weeks. Relief Factor is a blessing sent by God. Incredible words. Find out for yourself. Order the 3-week quick starter pack at relieffactor.com or call 800-500-8384. It'll be at your door in 3 days or less. Take it morning and evening like I do, and I promise you, Dr. G's guarantee. By the end of those 3 weeks, you will know whether it works for you like it works for me, Reggie, and thousands of your fellow Americans. 800-500-8384. That's 800-500-8384. ReliefFactor.com.
You're listening to America First with Dr. G.
Welcome back to One on One with me, Sebastian Gorka, and Steve Bannon. Steve, I want to so much this to ask you.
Can I?
Yes, go ahead.
We were, and I'm very proud of this, the hardest core of the hardcore. Because think about it. You and I had an idea. It's the Eurasian landmass, Mackinder 101.
Mackinder, Mahan, yep.
You had the Chinese Communist Party, you had Pakistan, you had Iran, the mullahs in Iran, you had Turkey, you had Russia. They're all trying to work together with their junior partner, Korea, North Korea, to basically control the Eurasian landmass. The basic thesis of American politics, of geopolitics since 1914, we will never allow one power or a group of powers to control the Eurasian landmass. If you look at President Trump's consistency and constancy as a strategist, as president, it's basically to confront that consistently. That's one of the problems with the Democrats and the progressive left. In particular, they're all over the map. But particularly because of climate change and other things, they're prepared to make deals with everybody and not worry about the centrality of the geostrategic concerns of this.
Well, look, I mean, you mentioned earlier the Thucydides trap. It saddens my heart. I was a fellow at the Kennedy School at Harvard. I studied under Allison, under Graham Allison, the last course he taught on the Cuban Missile Crisis. And these are the people who should know better, who should understand, who should read, as you told me to read one Thanksgiving weekend, J.D. Vance's Hillbilly Elegy, the idea that, you know, managed decline is un-American, but they don't get it. Okay, I'm going to ask you one question. You fight it away, because it's usually the question I ask halfway through when we have MTG or Matt Gaetz or others on. I ask them, who's winning, to use a Cold War phrase, the correlation of forces competition between MAGA and GOP establishment. So let me file that away. But let's start with the other side. It's out of control, whether it's the subpoenas for you, me, whether it's the open border, whether it's, you know, inflation, gas prices, on and on and on. Newt Gingrich said it 3 months ago. The reason the Democrats are doing what they're doing is because they know they're going to get shellacked in the midterms. Do you agree with that? Or do they really think they've got a shoo-in? It's going to be not 80 million mail-in ballots. It's going to be 160 mail-in ballots. Or do you think they have, let me put it thusly, do you think they have become hostages to their own ideology and have completely lost touch? Or are they actually rational actors?
So I think until very recently, and that started with the inflection point around Afghanistan, but also when all their economic policies, the logistics, when it all started to crater in the summer, they thought they were going to be here for 100 years. They thought we were going to go away.
Wow.
Right? That they would take out President Trump, that he would lose legitimacy, and they would get the controlled opposition of the traditional Republican Party that wanted to argue about tax cuts and deregulation and would fight on the margins, and they throw them a crumb every now and again. But they would essentially be in power. They considered the removal of Trump in 2020 to be like 1932. This would be a 40 or 50 year run. And because, quite frankly, Seb, the war room, you, the people that stayed here in Washington, D.C., when everybody else ran, right. Yeah. I don't want to name names, but sat there and I said, hey, well, hang on for a second. If we sit here and hammer this every day, we know we have a lot of grit and determination in the deplorables movement, and they don't want to quit. And when everybody's saying, hey, there's going to be, you know, 10 new Supreme Court judges, 5 new states, they're going to dominate everything. Remember, this city was an armed camp until April.
Yeah.
They had hundreds of troops everywhere, Seb, as you remember. And we said, no. That's not going to happen. We're standing in the breach. And you said, if all we have to do is hammer this every day, start speaking the truth and point out, and people are going to start questioning his legitimacy, and then it'll start bleeding out political capital. And then I think it's totally caught them by surprise. They're kind of overwhelmed because remember, they control every organ of power. They taught you at the Kennedy School, it's about power and influence, right? At Harvard Business School, it's about money and power. You were taught about power and influence. They had every aspect from high culture to low culture,
all of
to Wall Street. All of it. And every house, they have not just the administrative state, which is much bigger and more powerful today than actually the three branches of government. They own the administrative state. They had the House, the Senate, and the White House. So they had everything. And now they're in a situation right now in the Valley of Decision for us to have 100 seats in 100 years.
But you were saying until recently, until Afghanistan. So what do you think happened? Do you think they lost it and they're now out of touch?
I think what's happened is that, no, they're so arrogant and so out of touch. The first thing is that they passed a $1.9 trillion, which even Larry Summers and those guys said that the last stimulus package they passed in spring with Republican support, that is what threw the gasoline on the fire of the demand side of pull of the inflation. The supply push was that they didn't focus on the structural problems with the Chinese Communist Party and bringing manufacturing jobs in the supply chain back to the United States that Donald J. Trump was doing. That's the second part. They threw gasoline on. All of a sudden, you have raging furnace of inflation. You have the economy going off track. Afghanistan exposed how phony they are. Remember, they were supposed to bring stability. Afghanistan and their handling of the COVID crisis is the arrogance of the administrative state. Also, the Build Back Better. All three of them show that it's their arrogance and hubris.
But let me
before the American people and show you any information. They just react, and what they are is totally and completely incompetent. They're reckless, they're radical, and they're incompetent.
So this is what I believe. I think it is a lethal, incredibly dangerous, unstable admixture of arrogance and incompetence. So let me just run this by you. I look at the crew, and I see third, fourth-rate Obama holdovers. And, you know, Ron Klein, are you kidding me? The guy couldn't organize a piss-up in a brewery, as we say in the UK. There's no, I mean, you don't have to like Axelrod, but Axelrod actually had a couple of brain cells. Do you concur with me, Steve, that there's no brain in the building?
Here's the other, you hit a great point. it's one, the White House staff, but let's take a look at the cabinet, which you just talked about, our cabinet versus theirs. Remember, at the superficial level, at the cabinet secretary level, they try to be, they're so bland and unimportant. That's what they try to, that's what they needed to get past for confirmation.
It's the beta boys. It's the beta boys.
But the radical nature of the, you look at the undersecretaries and the assistant secretaries, that is radical, hardcore left. And they're incompetent. They try to put in, whether it's CRT into the military, CRT to all the schools, across the board. Terrible financial decisions, terrible economic decisions, terrible military and national security decisions because they're radical and they're competent. Now, they thought we had gone away. They thought they'd beaten us. Thought got written to Trump and that, hey, Seb Gorka and Steve Bannon, they're a couple of crazy guys in the far right, but the rest of American people are going to leave them. And the exact opposite has happened. Look at the polling. These are historic. And for your audience, please understand that these numbers in the 29% approval by the independents, which is the proxy for the American people, these are numbers that are significantly lower than Richard Nixon when he walked across the lawn in 74 and took the helicopter out. Nixon was at about 33 to 35%, still a third of the nation supported Nixon. Biden's polling, Biden is in competition right now with Millard Fillmore and James Buchanan to be literally the worst president of the United States. He makes Jimmy Carter look like Goliath, right? this guy is imploded. And Kamala Harris, if you look at the polling, the crosstabs, economists, not right-wing polls, but the Economist, Marist, these polls, people that think he's doing a great job in the economy are within the margin of error of zero. They're 4% among Hispanics, 6% among African Americans. I think the overall population is at 5% of people doing excellent. They were so shocked that we would stand our ground, fight back about his legitimacy, and then expose all the other things.
But when you say we, it's so few of us. And I'm going to get to that question of bench. I mean, literally, I use this. Remember when we sat down with Frontline, you and I, and we were interviewed for 4 hours for Frontline. They never used the interview they did with me, but they stole my phrase. I said we were a band of merry warriors. It was an insurgency. The whole bloody show was based upon the Trump insurgency. But there's fewer of us left, as you said, in the swamp. We'll get to the bench in a second. But guys, more one-on-one with Steve Bannon after these messages. Whether it's the regular Hellcat or whether it's the compensated RDP with that miniature red dot, I love them all. How did it take so long to invent a factory compensated subcompact 9mm? Well, guess what? Springfield did it, and I'm a huge fan, and I'm Sebastian Gorka.
The Hellcat from Springfield Armory is still the smallest, highest-capacity micro-compact in the world. Available in standard or optics-ready configurations, the class-leading capacity of the Hellcat gives you 11+1 with the standard magazine and 13+1 with the included extended mag. The definitive concealed carry pistol is here. The Hellcat from Springfield Armory gives you the capacity to defend. The most awesome pipes in talk radio. Sebastian Gorka.
This is one-on-one with Steve Bannon, former chief strategist to President Donald J. Trump. Okay, Steve, let's cut to the chase here. How many things, just tell everybody, total disclosure, hand on heart, how many talking points did we clear with you before this interview? What did we rehearse?
Not zero.
None. Yeah, I don't do that with anybody. I don't do that with my old boss. I don't do it with President Trump. I don't do it with anybody. So we don't have talking points. This isn't the mainstream media. So this isn't rehearsed. And if you don't want to answer it, you don't want to answer it. I've seen President Trump. I've been to New York since the election. And I have a serious concern.
Okay.
President Trump is still surrounded, in many cases, by bad people. Or people who are not good for MAGA. Those are different categories. There's bad people, you know, the grifters, and then there are people who are not good for MAGA because they don't understand MAGA or they're incompetent.
Maybe we should have gone through these questions before.
Too late now, dude. Too late.
So keep going.
How concerned are you? How concerned are you? Because, look, I'll be totally clear with you. Ron DeSantis is great, but he's not going to save America. There is nobody out there. I need a berserker. I need somebody with a political flamethrower who comes back to D.C. and says, Department of Education, you are moved to South Dakota. State Department, you are moved to Anchorage. If we've got 4 years to save it, and President Trump can do it given his character, but he's got to be surrounded by hardcore political killers, people who get it and people who understand the depth of the deep state and only have America's interests at heart. Are you satisfied or are you concerned that he is not yet surrounded by the right people or enough of the right people?
I think the way that I think about it, and it's obviously always an issue to make sure, because this is about saving the country. Remember,
yeah,
President Trump, as you know, more than anybody, is providential in that we were so out of money, disorganized in 16. It was providential that he's there. It's also providential that they stole 2020, because they were able. They flipped over all the cards. We understand there's a gulf between the two sides that can't. That's not bridgeable.
There's nothing hiding. There's no question anymore.
There's no question, and that is what's so providential about the big steal. Because I tell people, God works in mysterious ways. You can't question how God works. You just got to get on with it.
Yeah.
Now we are where we are, but here's what I think is important. It's about partisanship and ideology. It is obviously the failures of the first term and all the successes we had. The failure of the first term came with the cacophony of not just voices, because I always like voices, but differences in approach from particularly the Wall Street faction, other factions. That cannot happen again. President Trump is going to be the nominee. And if President Trump sticks to his core values, he will win a sweeping landslide.
Correct.
In 2020. But you're right. We have 4 years of which could be 50. If we do it right this time, and by that I mean there's full alignment from day one.
No screw-ups, no rhinos in the cabinet, no rhinos in the White House.
Even rhinos. I think it's really simple now, is that you either have – we are a inclusive nationalism. And that's what 2020 showed you in the voting in the Rio Grande Valley, now with 50% of Hispanics voting, supporting the populist thing. The Economist just had that huge article on populism, the Trump's populism attraction to Hispanics, African-American men, which I think we're going to get 50% of. The Asian-American vote, particularly Chinese-Americans, are now the dominant.
In the Commonwealth, where I live, Steve, my district captain, who really kind of won it for Youngkin, she said after 5 years of doing this, she's never seen as many new faces, mostly Asians, who said, how can we help, Steve, to save the Commonwealth?
In New York City, the dominant focus of Republican politics today is Chinese Americans that are anti-CCP. So my point is we're an expansionist populism and an inclusive nationalism and obviously traditionalist. I don't even know if we fall under the traditional label of conservatives or Republicans. But this movement has a certain internal logic to it, right? About the sovereignty of this country and about the self-reliance and independence of its people. It is quite obvious what has to happen in the second term, and we don't have a moment to lose. And you know better than anybody, Seb, because in the second term, your position, I think, is going to be vitally important, is the fact that the one thing we have to do internally, and I'm not a deep state guy, the reason is it's in your face. What we've allowed is this administrative state, which is impervious to
the permanent state, who don't care who the president is.
It's so, and it didn't clear up to Trump. And if people think that when we went in 22 with a sweeping 100-seat, a blowout, and in 2024, once again, I tell you, they're just not going to sit there and toss you the keys and say, yeah, okay, this is amazing. You know, the American people really do want you back. They're not going to sit there and say, it's great. It's going to be a Stalingrad every day.
It's going to be a knife fight. And I'm going to ask you.
This time you have nothing but killers in there.
Right.
Just bring it.
I'm going to ask you about how we do that in a second. We've all been there. You get out of the shower, out of the bath, reach for the towel, and it's like sanding yourself down with a piece of cardboard. Why? Mike Lindell worked it out. They were importing towels from abroad, adding softeners, and when you get home, it's just a con. Do what we've done. Order the incredible new MyPillow towels made with American cotton right here in the United States. Soft and absorbent as long as you own them. The six-piece set, two bath towels, two hand towels, two washcloths, regularly $109.99. You gonna get them for $39.99 if you use my name. Go to MyPillow.com, click on the new radio list of specials for deep, deep discounts with promo code G-O-R-K-A. You've never tried a towel like it. 1-800-829-8468. 1-800-829-8468. MyPillow.com. Promo code G-O-R-K-A.
Making sense out of today's nonsense. Here's Dr. Sebastian Gorka.
We are talking one-on-one with the man who has the coolest title for a podcast. It is Pandemic War Room, former chief strategist to the president, former naval officer, former CEO of Breitbart.com. Okay, Steve, here's the big question. I won't give his name because I don't have authority to do so, but a person who has the one of my top podcasts in America. I had cigars with him a few days ago. And he loves this country and he wants to win. But he said to me, we can't do it with Trump. And I said, why? Because in order to save the Republic, you need somebody who can compromise with Capitol Hill. My argument was the things we need to do to stop the permanent state cannot be done with compromise. His response was, but then we endanger the Republic. I said, no. What we need is a chief executive who uses every legal power in his mandate to the nth degree, 100%, which means he can move departments to Timbuktu if he wants to. He can change the way federal government is run because he's the chief executive. And my argument is we cannot, I'm not talking about having a civil war, God forfend. I'm talking about we cannot compromise with the swamp to fix the swamp. Is this just too obvious, Steve?
No. First off, this is what a lot of these, and particularly the public intellectuals, a lot of guys on the right, they're so wrapped up in things. The guys are talking about, you know, we ought to have states get out of the union and because of the we can't get along with California. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
First off, we're 2/3 of the country. look at the Hispanic vote is coming our way. We're on the cusp. That's why this 22, I call it the Valley of Decision. We are 2/3 of the country. Why would you let the country break up? We are in charge of this nation, and we need to start acting like it. So when you talk about there's no need to compromise. People, the American people don't want compromise. People go back and said, oh, he's got to be your niner. Stop. When you look at even General Washington, when you look at Andrew Jackson, we look at Abraham Lincoln, when you look at FDR, you look at Ronald Reagan. These are disruptors. At the time that they're in office, they completely divided the country. It's only later that the country comes back together, seeing that they took them to the next level. That's what Donald Trump is.
But I hear this every day. We need a uniter. Are you kidding me?
We don't need a uniter. This is what we unite. We unite by taking the country to the next level.
Yeah.
And in taking that next level, we take the constitutional republic that's been bequeathed to us for 13 generations, and we make sure it survives, and we bequeath it to other people. There is no compromise. I will never compromise, not one second, whether it's on the January 6th commission, whether it's about what we broadcast every day, what we stand for, what we fight for. You cannot compromise. And anybody that says compromise, get them out of the way. Like Jesus Christ said, it's the tepid water, spit it out of your mouth, right? People that are preaching compromise are preaching defeat. As Napoleon told his marshals, when you set out to take Vienna, okay? Our focus is to save this republic, and our focus in saving this republic is once we're in charge after 2022 with the sweeping – and people got to work every day to get there. We need to be uncompromising. There's no need for a civil war. We're 2/3 of the nation.
Yeah.
What we're going to do is implement policies predicated upon the rule of law, implement policies that literally get this country back on track and get its sovereignty back, whether it's on the southern border of this nation or in Beijing or on Wall Street. We're going to do it. And by the way, we're going to be relentless. And I got to tell you, Seb, I know from our audience, I know from your audience, this is what the American people demand. Anybody that says compromise with Capitol Hill, we're going to throw these bums out. This is the biggest problem up here.
You're right. And just to get you on the record, let me be clear. I want to ask a very simple question to what you're saying. You know, Clausewitz said war, it may be difficult, but it's simple. It's not easy, but it's simple. And it's about winning, and we need to win. But to get you on the record, the Republic is salvageable. Correct, Steve Bannon?
It's salvageable. Of course it's salvageable. Of course it's salvageable. Bill Parcells says you are what your record says you are. And General Sherman always said, a simple plan, aggressively executed. And we have a simple plan. Yeah. The plan is to take back the House in 2022, to take the White House with a sweeping mandate, a massive mandate in 24, and then to set things right. And as sure as the turning of the earth, we're going to do this. And that's, listen, the compromisers will always quit because it gets too hard for them. The compromisers are always going to fade because all of a sudden the spotlight is going to come and say, look, these are bad guys. These are tough guys. These are crazy guys. They're radical guys. We're going to cut you off of all your sponsorships. We're going to cut you off of your agitator. Hey, FJB, I could care less. And here's the thing. There's enough people in America, particularly hardworking folks in the Rio Grande Valley that are Hispanic, African-American men in inner cities, Chinese Americans in Queens, New York, that are prepared to support us. And that is the sweeping expansionist, inclusive nationalism that's going to take on these globalists. It's all the uniparty. Whether Republicans or Democrats, they're going to get rid of all of them.
And I didn't get, I mean, you said what has to happen in 24 with the cabinet and the team in the White House. What about until then? How concerned are you that President Trump doesn't have the right people around him advising him?
I think on the key things, I think he does directionally. Look, you're always going to have guys in the margin. I think that also becomes clearer and clearer every day to him. And I think he'll staff and get the right guys. It'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy. President Trump's very savvy. Look, my plan from the beginning is this 100 seats for 100 years. Donald J. Trump, as not being a member of Congress, is nominated and takes over as Speaker of the House for 100 days in 2023, just 100 days. He takes the gavel from Nancy Pelosi, which will melt the internet, right? He takes the gavel from Nancy Pelosi, takes the gavel, gavels in, and we start immediately the impeachment process for Joe Biden. We clean out all this we have to clean up. We put him on notice. I'm not saying we can remove Joe Biden from office. The Senate controls that. But we impeach him. We get all the we get everything on the table of everything they've done to destroy this country. And then in 100 days, President Trump turns the gavel back. He announces the next day his presidential campaign for 2024. We win 45 states and Bob's your uncle.
Yeah, there's only one issue with that. Once you've been president, I'm not sure you can lower yourself to Speaker of the House, especially knowing President Trump. But
Hold it, John Quincy Adams.
No, I know, but I'm talking about his character. I'm talking about his character. I'm talking about you know the man.
He's only there for 100 days, and it's only to impeach Joe Biden. Listen, they use the impeachment as a weapon to try to destroy him, his place in history, himself as a man, and his presidency. We're going to fight fire with fire. Joe Biden has done absolutely with the Chinese Communist Party, the invasion on the southern border, Afghanistan. What he's done already is impeachable offenses. Yeah. He's had to be accountable or we don't have a constitutional republic.
It would be fun to watch. Okay, Steve, I've got to ask you. This is one-on-one with me, Sebastian Gorka, member of the National Security Education Board. For some reason, Biden's too afraid to kick me off that one. I bet you are. Bring it.
This is a red alert for hardworking Americans who are tired of seeing their freedoms and savings threatened by the globalist agenda. Wealth Protection Research is on a mission to find whistleblowers who are exposing the schemes that threaten your financial security. We're talking about real, patriotic financial warriors like Jim Rickards and Porter Stansberry. They're not afraid to tell it like it is, exposing how the system is rigged against you. Text IDEAS to 76626 to find out more. With the 2024 election storming our way, your IRA and your 401k appear to be in the crosshairs. That's why we've compiled our three favorite ideas from freethinkers. Don't wait for a knock on your door telling you it's too late. Get this critical report. Text IDEAS to 76626. The fight for your financial freedom is on. Text IDEAS to 76626 now for your free report. That's IDEAS to 76626. Standard text and data rates may apply.
Dr. G is in the house on America First.
And we're back, one-on-one with Steve Bannon. Okay, Steve, you used the phrase the Hobbits of the Shire when we were in the White House and for Breitbart, describing, you know, what J.R.R. Tolkien wrote, the Hobbits for him as an officer were the NCOs, were the privates in the trenches with him in World War One, and he was paying tribute to them. He made the people who built the United Kingdom and that empire the heroes, the modest heroes of this massive epic that was really a Christian epic that changed modern fantasy writing forever. What is your message to the Hobbits out there right now? Because we get these calls less and less nowadays, because I've read the Riot Act to them, but we still get them now and again that's it. They stole the last one. I'm never voting again. We're never going to get America back again. As Rush told us, despair is un-American. We don't do it. So as former chief strategist for President Trump, what is your message to the Shire?
It's very simple. The Shire has always gotten us through. If you look at this, is the great fourth turning in American history, whether it's the Revolution, the Civil War, the Great Depression, World War II. Every about 80 to 100 years, we come to this major inflection point. And if you look back in history, it's always the Shire. It's the little guy. It's the American Lao Beijing, old 100 names. It's the basic common citizen. It's the deplorables. The deplorables have always gotten us through. Remember, the first thing in psychological warfare is to break you mentally, to have a despair.
Yeah.
This is the first thing you have to be, spit in their eye and say, how about this, FJB, right? We need the cussedness, the grit, the determination that from 14 generations on every patriot's battlefield, right, has gotten us to this place today to save this great republic. Remember, 100 years from now, 200 years from now, 300 years from now, they're going to talk about this time in American history. This country went one way or the other. And guess what? I'm long the deplorables. We've got this. We have to act like we've been here before. We have to be steely-eyed. We have to be determined. And anybody mentions compromise, say, get out of here. I don't want to hear your compromise, okay? We're determined. We're relentless. We're indefatigable. And we are not going to be beaten. And the last thing I will say, just like Napoleon told his marshals, when you set out to take Vienna, take Vienna.
It's not complicated, guys. It's tautologist, but it came to me at a conservative event when a woman ran up to me in her ball gown and said, Dr. G, can I get a selfie? I said, sure. And then I said, don't forget to tag me on Facebook when you post it. And she said, oh, I can't post it. I mean, Virginia is very Democrat. And then I made the speech later that day and I said, if you're not prepared to fight, you're not deserving of a victory. Get engaged, get politically active. That's what this man has been doing his whole life. In the meantime, I'm going to put this back in the fridge. We're going to keep your Red Bull for you. We're going to ship off to you a late Christmas present, our America First hat. And this, the most popular t-shirt before the Let's Go Brandon stuff arrived. This was especially for when the president came on the show. I'm going to save this for Steve. This is the If You're Woke, You're a Loser from his rally. We're going to get that to Steve. Check it all out. SebGorkaStore.com. God bless you, Steve. Check out War Room Pandemic every single day. Guys, we can do it. We must do it. We will do it. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing, keep your head on a swivel. Watch your six. Hold the line. Never give up. Never give in. And stay frosty.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.